From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages from the ministry of Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue his recently begun series of studies in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon from his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Immediate Freedom. The text is Nahum chapter 1, verse 13. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. The Assyrian was allowed for a season to oppress the Lord's people, but there came a time for his power to be broken. So many a heart is held in bondage by Satan, and frets sorely under the yoke. Oh, that to such prisoners of hope the word of the Lord may come at once, according to the text, Now will I break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. See, the Lord promises a present deliverance. Now will I break his yoke from off thee. Believe for immediate freedom, and according to thy faith, so shall it be unto thee at this very hour. When God saith now, let no man say tomorrow. See how complete the rescue is to be, for the yoke is not to be removed, but broken, and the bonds are not to be untied, but burst asunder. Here is a display of divine force which guarantees that the oppressor shall not return. His yoke is broken. We cannot again be bowed down by its weight. His bonds are burst asunder. They can no longer hold us. Oh, to believe in Jesus for complete and everlasting emancipation! If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Come, Lord, and set free thy captives according to thy word.
I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. The
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of his second message on the theme, Christ Tempted but Triumphant. Following Christ's baptism and the verification of his eternal sonship, Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. But as Dr. Cairns will emphasize, in that experience, Christ was not a victim, but a conqueror. In that solitary place, face to face with the devil, the Savior commenced his task as our sin-bearer. It is of the utmost importance that believers have a solitary place where they meet with God every day if they would have victory over sin. On the other hand, isolation is a dangerous place for the Christian, for there the devil attacks. Fellowship with other believers is necessary for the Christian. Now Dr. Cairns concludes his second message on the theme, Christ Tempted but Triumphant.
Thank God the Lord Jesus was not in there in that wilderness as some sort of a poor, puny little victim. He was there as the mighty conqueror. Wilderness it might be, But thank God he had the victory. He was there for 40 days, tempted in the wilderness. It's a significant number. Do you remember Moses had a 40-day fast? Remember that Elijah had a 40-day fast. And now Christ fasts for 40 days, tempted by the devil. That's something that neither Moses nor Elijah endured during their 40 days. Moses was in communion with God in those 40 days. Elijah was going in the strength of the meat that the Lord had supplied for him for those 40 days. But Christ, for 40 days, was tempted, tried, attacked, buffeted with all the fullness of hell's fury. And so far is Christ always greater than both Moses and the prophets. But why did they all fast for 40 days? What's the significance of the 40-day fast? There are two things. Well, you'll have heard it, 40 is the number of proving. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. But there's something else. Take your Bible, and you'll see that 40 is a significant number in that it is always connected either with the penalty and punishment upon sin or with the confession or intercession following sin. Think of this. The flood waters prevailed upon the earth for 40 days. The children of Israel wandered because of their sin in the wilderness for 40 years. Offenders were commanded to be beaten with 40 stripes. And those are not just facts that drop off the page of Scripture with no significance. The 40 has to do with the penalty and the punishment of sin. And when we have Christ here standing in this place of temptation for 40 days fasting and being tempted, he's standing there, as I pointed out when he was in the waters of baptism, he's standing there as our sin bearer. He's standing there as the one who is in our place, taking our guilt, working out righteousness on our behalf. But as I said, it signifies also confession. Remember when we looked at Christ's baptism, it was a baptism of repentance. Christ had no sin of his own to repent of. But when Christ stood in the waters of baptism, he stood loaded with the guilt of sin. And he felt that sin that he was assuming. He felt it and he hated it and he confessed it and he turned from it. We have a perfect righteousness, including in Christ, a perfect repentance and a perfect faith. So here again, we have him for 40 days. The idea of confession and intercession. Remember, Moses interceded for the children of Israel for 40 days. When Jonah went to Nineveh and he told them of impending doom, what happened? They fasted for 40 days. Ezekiel was commanded to bear the transgressions of Judah for 40 days. Following the birth of a child, the woman's period of purification for a boy was 40 days. For a girl was twice 40 days. Why? Because as the psalmist says, in sin did my mother conceive me. All these things are emphasizing the confession of sin and the intercession for the mercy of God upon sinners. Here's the Lord Jesus now standing before God and tempted by the devil. What's he doing for these 40 days? Again, he is feeling, as no man ever felt. He's feeling the horror. He's feeling the awfulness of our sin. It's because he's our Savior and our sin bearer that he's placing himself in this position. Otherwise, he couldn't be and wouldn't be there. But standing there, confessing, hitting our sin, even through the temptation and by virtue of his victory in it, he's lifting up to God a mighty plea, a mighty intercession for us to be delivered from both sin and Satan. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Before we leave the wilderness, let me say this, that there's a very practical thing we must learn here for ourselves. The wilderness was for Christ a solitary place. There was no John the Baptist there. There were no disciples there. There were no friends there. He was alone with God. The solitary place. That appeared to Satan to leave him vulnerable. How wrong the devil could be. But in this place alone, how often we read of Christ going alone to meet with his Father, getting away from everybody, to get alone with God in the solitary place. That was the very place of the devil's attack. It's always so. Let me put it to you very simply. In two ways. Be very, very wary in your own life of isolation. I talked about wild beasts a little while ago. Have you ever seen the savage films of the migration of the animals from South Africa, right up through the Serengeti, right up into Kenya's Maasai Mara? Hundreds of thousands of wildebeests are just on the run. And the lions and the crocodiles are waiting. What do? They watch for one that straggles. They watch for one that gets isolated. Perhaps attention is taken away, becomes careless, and as soon as it's isolated from the herd, almost always it's dead. Our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The fellowship and the closeness and the friendship and the bonds of prayer and love and mutual kindness and support in the church of God are ordained of God, not merely for our comfort, though they are for our comfort, but they are ordained because they are absolutely necessary. Be careful of the danger of isolation. But that's when Satan will tempt you and Satan will defeat you. But think of it another way. There is a lonely place, an isolated place, a solitary place where every Christian must go. Jesus said, you enter into your closet, you shut your door, and there you meet with your Father which sees in secret. There is a secret place of prayer. There must be in every Christian's life. There must be that place when you leave family aside. Mother and father, husband and wife and children. You leave them all aside. You set aside the commands and the demands of the workplace. You leave aside all of the entertainments and attractions and the imperial commands of the world. And you get alone with God. There has to be that place. You're never going anywhere with God unless you first go there in the solitariness of the secret place. No Christian's life is ever any stronger than the strength of his experience in the secret place, alone with God. But that's the very place where you will most meet the devil. Understand that when you get to the solitary place to meet with God with a desire, as no doubt Christ was never without, a desire to meet with God. He said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me." He could no more think of getting alone without getting alone with his Father than he could breathe without air. It was an impossibility. And yet as soon as he got alone, Satan came to attack that very place and, if possible, to breach and break, fracture forever that fellowship with the Father. Guard the secret place. Guard the place of your solitary communion with God. It's going to come under attack. Haven't you noticed it in your own life? I'm sure you must have noticed it. Every time you set a time aside to meet with God, there'd be 101 other things that must have your attention. There'd be people who must have your attention. There'd be things that must be looked after. And it takes a severity of discipline to say, short of something that God makes clear to me is a matter of life and death or something of supreme importance, this is my time with God, and nobody on earth is going to come between me and the Lord. Very important. Now, I know that's difficult. It's difficult for us all, I suppose, and my heart goes out to you. I suppose that it's more difficult for young mothers than for anybody else. Maybe I should just tell you to forget about going home for lunch and now lunch out and give a bit of a lecture to some of you husbands to tell you how you ought to deal with this. A young mother is in a home with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 children. They don't all sleep at the same time. They don't even all want to eat at the same time. Their noses run, their diapers need changed, they get sick, they get to crying, they get hurting. One's in a crib, the other's able to run around. It'd take the energy of 10 men to look after them, but one woman does it. Where does she get time to pray? Where does she get quietness to get alone with God? Satan comes to rob her of that which she and her family most need that she maintain, that secret communion with God. That's why I say I would need to give a lecture to the husbands. For instead of you coming in to say, "I've worked hard all day, there's my supper on the table," put your feet up to guard your soul night after night on what Hollywood has to offer you from your television, first and foremost, you need to take control of your own family. You need to spend and be spent for your own little ones. And you need to give that wife of yours time to go, and I mean time to go and get alone with God, to get her mind cleared and her heart opened and her soul lifted up to heaven. Be very careful how Satan wants to rob us of that solitary communion with our Father. But I trust this morning you realize what the Lord Jesus has done for you and me. I hope you'll understand the reality, the raging of the temptation. Providence of God in leading him there. The place to which he led him. The significance of those 40 days in the wilderness. And let us learn from this, as we'll see if we go on, that Christ stands forth here as a mighty champion of his people. He suffered being tempted. Thank God he's able to help you and me now when we are tempted.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.